Auburn is headed to Athens to take on the Bulldogs. What should we expect from this year's version of the Deep South's oldest rivalry?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. Happy game day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Know the enemy version, Auburn versus Georgia. It's going to be a interesting game. Georgia's got kind of a curious team. I'm going to say a curious team kind of on both sides of the ball, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. But before we get started, let's give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Set up your account, and hey, you could get you some of that Auburn minus 24.5, I believe, right now. So if you think Auburn can cover the spread, use that double up portion of your deposit, and it's a free bet, basically. It's a free bet. It's totally doesn't count against you. A lot of other lines you can use if you want to get on first half, second half, live betting, a little bit of everything for college football and every other sport that you can imagine. They have it. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So I talked about it kind of in the intro. I've really dove into a lot of the stats and looked at this team, this Georgia team. And although they're great, and you watch the game against the opening game against Clemson, and you take away that, oh man, here we go again. It's just another Kirby Smart, explosive on offense, smothering defense, and just balanced on both sides. You're like, it's just another year where it's going to be another Georgia team that's going to be dominant. But the last two games have been very curious. The Kentucky game was very curious. The Alabama game was very curious. And then you start looking into the numbers and you're like, there's some things we need to talk about. There's some things you need to hash out. So, and I'll say this, I don't feel like I'm not saying that I think Auburn can win the game, has a better chance to win the game now. It's going to be a tall task regardless, but they do seem vulnerable in some spots, and we're going to talk about that. So first off, very curious, not really sure what to expect from their offense. Okay, they're explosive through the first two games, and then the last six out of the last eight quarters, they've been completely inept. They have had trouble. In those six of those eight quarters, they had trouble running the ball. They had trouble passing the ball, and that's versus Kentucky, the whole game versus Kentucky. And then the first two quarters and a drive into the third quarter at Alabama. It's just they went through this little period where it's like, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? They don't really have that bell cow running back that they've had year after year after year. They don't really have that 220-pound thumper that's going to lean on you all game. And then by the end of the game, you're tired of getting hit in the face. And then he starts ripping off, 10, 15, 20-yard plays. They do have a very explosive running back, Trevor Etienne, the transfer from Georgia. He's had, I think he averages like 12 yards a carry, but he doesn't really he doesn't get a ton of carries. They don't really lean on the running game like they have in the past. They're a much more pass-happy offense, probably the most that you've seen from Kirby Smart maybe since he's been at Georgia. But, yeah, they go through this little period where it's very curious. What are they trying to do here? Which way are they trying to go? And then the second half of the Alabama game, they just explode through the air, which they have the ability to do. But to start that Alabama game, they went punt, interception, punt, touchdown, interception, safety, punt, and then they scored, four touchdowns starting in the starting in the third quarter, they scored 19 points, I know, in the fourth quarter. It's just weird. It's weird how, they go on the road to Kentucky, and now granted, Kentucky always plays them pretty tough, especially in Lexington. They go to Kentucky, struggle, only score 13 points, couldn't really do much of anything on both sides of the ball. It's not like they're turning the ball over a lot either. They don't really turn the ball over at all. All of their turnovers came in the Alabama game. They may have one other one sporadically out there, but they had, I think, three interceptions and maybe a fumble against, or either at least two interceptions, maybe three interceptions and a fumble against Alabama. So that was their big turnover game. You know, other than that, they really protect the ball. They just don't do anything super crazy on either side. Now, their offense there is really predicated around, obviously, Carson Beck. And then they have three veteran receivers that get the love spread, I guess, between them. So you got Arian Smith, Dominic Lovett, Dylan Bell. They combined for five touchdowns and close to 700 yards of receiving. And then Carson Beck. There's nothing really super flashy about Carson Beck. It's not like he wows you. Again, he seems like a game manager, but you look up and then he's thrown for 300 plus yards. So he's not, but nothing just super jumps off the page that just like wows you about it. But he gets it done. He gets it done. And then you turn around and he's put 35 on you and he's throwing for 304 touchdowns. Like it's kind of wild. He protects the ball. He doesn't really turn it over. And then this is the thing, like you've played a lot of these running quarterbacks and you're like, okay, we've pressured quarterbacks. We've not been able to really get a ton of sacks, but we've moved dudes off their mark a lot. They've just been super athletes. So it's been hard to get those sacks. So you look at Carson Beck and you're thinking, man, I tell you what, if we can pressure this guy, he's not going to be quite as mobile. And, we may be able to disrupt him, force him into making some bad decisions. But, hey, he may not be as mobile as these other guys, but he doesn't get sacked. And if he needs to run, he can hurt you. He would prefer not to, but he's sneaky, has some sneaky athleticism about him. He can definitely maneuver in the pocket really well. And if he needs to take off and get 5 or 6 yards, he can definitely do that. So I don't think Auburn can just take a pin your ears back approach. You can have a little bit of a different approach instead of playing it so safe that you can't be quite as aggressive against some of these more mobile quarterbacks. You can dial it up, but you still got to be careful because he's, again, sneaky athletic, and he can probably hurt you if he needs to, especially on the ground. But again, it's weird. Like he just seems to dink and dunk, and then you look up in the box score, and he's thrown for 300 or 400 yards. It's kind of crazy. Again, they don't allow a lot of sacks. That's one of the things I want to look at. This defense has to have guys, has to be able to create pressure because the back end is suspect at times. You know, your secondary. You have some young players playing. They're playing really well. And then you have some corners that, have a tendency to have certain lapses in coverage. I mean, look at Kay and Lee against Oklahoma. He looked incredible against Arkansas, has an interception against Arkansas. And then he gets beat deep on a very, very crucial play against Oklahoma. So they have the receivers with the veteran experience to be able to exploit our secondary, and they also have the quarterback that can exploit the secondary. And then it seems like they have the offensive line to protect the quarterback to be able to take advantage of the our secondary, so that's been weaker at times. So not allowing a lot of sacks is a little bit concerning, but I don't think they've really played. I think Auburn is a very, very underrated pass rushing defensive line. They've got a lot, especially with the addition of DeMarcus Riddick this last week, coming on, really showing that he can affect the pocket, he can affect the quarterback, and he can make plays in the backfield. Again, they're good. They're a good offensive line. So that's going to be a huge test for Auburn. Again, they don't turn the ball over. I mentioned that earlier. They've only had 4 turnovers all year. And again, basically all those came in the Alabama game. So that could be sort of like that. Obviously that's like an outlier. They like to protect the ball. They don't really force a lot of things. They sort of take it as it comes. And a lot of times the opposing offense puts themselves in bad positions to make it to where it's really easy for them to execute their offense. and you know, continue to just lean on you, and then they'll pop a big play on you. So, but this year it's through the air versus on the ground. Again, and I talked about the bell cow running back. They don't really have that big pounder guy. So really curious. I'm not really sure what to expect. I feel like they're going to try to hit some big plays early through the passing game. Auburn does really well against the run, so I can see them having some issues if the only thing they have to go by is if they don't really have that guy that can just pound Auburn up the middle. Auburn's got the speed on the edges to be able to, I feel like, contain, you know, their change of pace style running backs that they have this year. So I don't really know what to expect. I feel like they're going to have some – again, I feel like they'll be able to be pretty explosive through the pass game, so you're going to have to affect the quarterback. Defense feels like a traditional Georgia defense. The only key is something that I'm watching is the last two games they've played, they have really been gashed in the running game. They've given up over 170 yards against Kentucky, which Kentucky had no balance whatsoever. Like they're not very good passing the ball. So they were running, and Georgia, that's really all they had. Now they only scored 12 points, but they ran for over 170 yards. And then Alabama, obviously, with the scrambles from Jalen Milroe, and you know, that whole running attack that they have, over 170 yards against Alabama. So can Auburn exploit that? Can Peyton Thorne be able to, you know, extend plays kind of like, obviously not to the level of Jalen Milroe, but are they susceptible to that? Are they susceptible to giving up the quarterback runs? Jarquez Hunter, who is just continuing to eat every single week and seems to rip off big runs, even in spite of, you know, even in spite of having a box stacked, it doesn't matter. It seems like he's going to get his regardless. Is that something Auburn can take advantage of? It seems like last two games they may be susceptible to the run a little bit, and their leading tackler, but their senior linebacker who is sort of that leader of the defense, Smile Munden, is out for this game. So that could be something interesting to watch. They're already reeling a little bit against the run, and then you take out one of their top leaders, their top linebackers. Now, don't act like – let's not pretend they don't just have another top 100 guy to come in right behind him. But still, regardless, when you take your senior leader out, there could be a drop-off there. So that's going to be something interesting to watch. What does Auburn do? Do they try to establish the run? Are they able to run early? If I'm George, I'm probably daring them to throw the ball, especially on the road in a hostile environment. That'll be something key to watch. Now, other than the Alabama game, they don't create a lot of interceptions. They keep the ball. They seem to try to want to keep the ball in front of them. Now, Ryan Williams feasted on making big plays against them. That was the kind of key to that offense, honestly, against Georgia. That they Alabama versus Georgia, they really took the top off the defense. That hasn't been a thing up until then. So I don't know that Auburn has that player that can, you know, you think you got Malcolm Simmons that you could possibly use to be able to take the top off the defense. Keandre Lambert-Smith at times has been able to beat teams deep, but it's not really, I'm going to outrun you. I'm going to outrun you and beat you deep. It's mostly I'm going to beat you on like a 50-50-ish type ball, get a step on you and make a play 30, 40 yards down the field. But not that, you know, big play and then run after the catch, score from 70, 80 yards. That's not really Auburn's game outside of, you know, again, Malcolm Simmons may be a guy that could do something like that. So they keep the pass in front of them. They don't create a ton of interceptions. They just sort of smother you in the secondary and then force you to drive on them. That's kind of their MO, that bend but don't break, but they really just don't bend a ton. So that's going to be something to watch. And they don't really even get a lot of sacks. They're not a big pressure team. I think Auburn has more sacks than Georgia does. I think they have 8. Auburn has 10. It's towards the bottom of the league as far as sacks go. So they're not a big pressure team either. So just have a smothering type defense that, you know, again, they're not going to – it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to, at least up until now, just pick you off, create fumbles, force fumbles, big sacks where you just don't feel like you can breathe as far as making a mistake. They just sort of keep it in front of them. They don't really make a ton of mistakes. They just kind of keep it in front of them. And I guess that's sort of the MO of this team this year, especially on defense. So how does Auburn go into Athens and come out with a win? It's going to be really tough. The two things that I typically look at against of an opposing team to see if I feel like Auburn's going to have a chance to move the ball on offense is sacks, number one, and turnovers. In neither one of those categories, they're incredibly strong in. They don't really pressure the quarterback a ton. I've already talked about that. So can Auburn keep them off balance enough to be able to execute this RPO offense, which already is designed to do that? So they're not a overly strong pass rushing team. So that's a bright spot. That's something that you can look at to say, okay, I know this offensive line has been susceptible to giving up pressure at times, but this team doesn't seem to have that elite pass rusher. This team doesn't seem to have that elite guy that gets back there, you know, play after play and is disrupting the passer. So that's a bright spot. They don't really create a ton of turnovers. I mentioned that. That is another thing. Auburn has been bit by the turnover bug this year. They lead the country maybe in turnover margin, and then they lead the conference for sure in total turnovers. So, but you're playing a team, again, that doesn't really force a lot of turnovers. Oklahoma, that was sort of their thing. Oklahoma was, we create a bunch of turnovers, whether it's interceptions, fumbles, we get the ball back. And they did that in a very key situation, obviously, last week. Georgia doesn't seem to really do that. They don't seem to really have that deal where they – you know, go get the ball back. So it's again, more stifling defense and just make you drive 12, 15 plays and then kick field goals and, you know, not score touchdowns. So that's kind of their deal. And then on the defensive side, I'll look at how are they, what's their passing attack look like? Because I feel like, and then passing attack and offensive line, because Auburn can get to the quarterback if they have a good offensive line that doesn't allow a lot of sacks, that could present some issues in the secondary because Auburn has been susceptible to getting beat in one-on-ones, get beat deep, get, like, I guess, lulled into creating penalties, pass interference, defensive holding, stuff like that, because the secondary is just still sort of a work in progress. So it feels like for Auburn to win this game, obviously they're going to have to pressure the quarterback. They're going to have to be able to disrupt Carson Beck, because if they can't, I think he'll be able to pick Auburn apart. I think they'll have the receivers to be able to beat Auburn deep, as well as beat Auburn over the middle, win their battles. The key on defense is going to be getting after the quarterback, and that's the only way Auburn's going to be able to really slow this offense down is stuff like that, because the running game, they don't really lean on it that much. It's a passing attack. So can Auburn disrupt Carson Beck, and can they contain him and force him to throw off balance, throw off his mark? Because if he sits back there and he's able to just, you know, go through his progressions and rip it downfield, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And then as far as the offense goes, establish a run. They seem susceptible a little bit to the run. Lean on Jarquez, lean on even Peyton running the ball at times, and kind of pick your spots of when you want to take shots in the passing game. Because again, they don't create a lot of turnovers, but they keep the ball in front of them. So you got to be careful there. Tipped balls, things like that can turn into to turnover. So protect the ball, establish the run. It's going to be a tall task. It's going to be a tall task for Auburn in general. I do like Auburn to cover the spread. I think if I had to bet something, that's what I would bet. I would bet Auburn covering that 24 and a half, whatever it is right now, spread. But you know, I know obviously people are also talking about, is this a get back game, a get right game for Georgia? Are they going to be mad? Are they going to be pissed off after the Alabama loss? Maybe so, but again, this is homecoming for them. So there's some distractions there as well that's, you know, could lead to, you know, tampering down a little bit of the, I guess, a little bit of the intensity that could come off of dropping that big, you know, rivalry game, that big important game versus Alabama. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea of what to expect from Georgia. This, to me, is not one of the better Georgia teams over the last several years. So if you're going to have a chance to maybe have a big upset. I know Auburn does not play well, has not played well in recent history in Athens. But if there is a team to me that you might could, you know, scare a little bit, you played really good against them last year. You know, maybe this one is it. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how both sides of the ball hold up. I think we're ready for that bye week next week. There's a lot of guys that we've dodged some major injuries outside of Champ Anthony, but I know there's a lot of lingering, nagging things that you need that time to heal. So hopefully they can muster up the intensity for, you know, one last game before they get to take a break. And let's see what these guys can do. We need something positive. The Deuce Knight commitment helped, but need a really good outing here to hopefully have something that you can build on the second half of the season to try to reel off some wins to get back into bowl eligibility. Because 2-4 through the first six games, I'm sure, is not something that was expected, and definitely something that is, obviously you got to rebound. You got to rebound, or you could be looking at a 4-8 record really, really easy. So, guys, if you're traveling to the game, be careful. Hopefully this gets you through the travel, gives you something to talk about leading up into the game. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how this one plays out, and hopefully Auburn can go in and pull out the miracle, and, you know, we got something to celebrate about. So, guys, I appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5, and we're going to be back probably after the game live and have a little fun. Chat a little bit, break it down, and overall just talk about this game, this big rivalry game that Auburn sorely needs to figure out ways to get back into it so it's more competitive and more fun. I've even seen Georgia fans say, hey, man, I miss this game being a fun rivalry, a competitive rivalry. So let's see what happens. Y'all be safe, and we'll be back again later. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.